Dr. Lonnie Smith, not to be confused with Lonnie Liston Smith, with He's a Mighty Good Leader. For you church people, you may recognize it as an old church song. This is from his 2003 album, Boogaloo to Beck. Smith, of course, is on the Hammond. David Fathead Newman comes in later on tenor sax as a special guest. Doug Monroe is on guitar, and Lafray Sy is on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And what a weekend I've had. How was yours? Mine was full of excitement, and I didn't even do a thing. I'm, you know, getting myself together, and all of a sudden, there's this huge buzzing alarm that goes off on my computer, and it just is like saying, warning, warning, warning. And I'm wondering, what the heck is going on? And it turns out it was a notice. It was meant to be, dramatic, so as to get attention. And it said that my computer had been breached, and the warning looked like it came from Microsoft. It had the Microsoft logo, but when I looked at it closely, it was kind of not crisp. You know, it was kind of like a lifted logo somewhere. And it said, don't do anything, but call this number. It's an 800 number. And I don't know why I did that, but I did call the number. But I realized quickly enough, I was in the middle of a hustle. What happens is you call the number, and they kind of run through things really, really fast, and they tell you that they are a technical consulting firm affiliated with Microsoft. I said, okay, I've been had, or at least that's the intention. I said, you will get a dose of your own medicine today. So I kept asking questions. Who are you? Where are you located? What is your ID number? And so forth. And I kept getting these very strange kinds of answers. And in the meantime, the guy I was talking with sounded Indian, said to me, he kept plowing ahead. He wanted to know, he wanted me to help him get into my computer. And these are the things, in order to solve the problem, he said, you have to type these numbers in. And this code in. I said, fellow, listen, you are not that smart at all to outsmart me. I figured you out. You're a scammer. And I gave him a really good running. And then he turned me over to the department, meaning the guy sitting next to him. He turned me over to the department, and the department wanted to put me through the process of getting back my computer and to unfreeze the freeze. It was there, he said, because there was a built-in system in my computer that would sound an alarm anytime there is something unusual, anytime there is a breach, and that was what I was experiencing. So I said, okay, so how much? And he said, what do you mean? How much is this going to cost? Well, we don't know. We haven't diagnosed the problem. So what it is a scam. For some reason or the other, they have a way of selecting computers and owners they believe are online, and they just freeze the computer. I don't know how they do it, but they did. And then one part of their purpose is to get you to believe that this is an arrangement with Microsoft, that they are engineers and they will be helping me retrieve the safety of my computer. But they don't tell you. What they have you do is follow their instructions, and they're doing all kinds of things. If you follow their instructions, you are actually inviting them into your computer, and they would put a stranglehold on it. And in order to release it, you will have to pay. So I said, I pretended I wasn't on to anything. I said, so how much would this typically cost, this service? Do you know that he said it will cost between $150 and $500? How about that? This is the kind of gangsterism that is going on. So I still haven't gotten my computer back, but a friend of mine is coming and will help me with that this afternoon, hopefully, and we'd be back in good order. But I said that just to warn you, if this should happen to you, it's got all the marks of a scam. It will inconvenience you, but it would inconvenience you a lot more if you go along with the program. I wish they could do something about people who do this kind of stuff, you know? It's just so wrong. But anyway. So we have a couple of things that we'll chat about today. One is that we see in Hawaii, the Big Island, continues to react to the volcano Kilauea and its eruptions, and new fissures are showing up and lava is moving, and the smell of the toxic gas, sulfur dioxide, is everywhere. There are evacuations going on, and some homes, quite a few, about 36 homes so far, have been lost. But the main thing is that people are on edge, because even though there has been a 6.9 magnitude earthquake, the largest in 43 years, which started this rumbling on Thursday, and the lava continues to flow. It looks like it's slow, but it has covered quite a bit of mileage. And, you know, people are naturally concerned. They are on edge because they believe this, as bad as it is only the precursor to Kilauea actually going into full-fledged eruption mode, and that would be really disastrous. So people are watching, and we're hoping, of course, that they pull through. And this kind of in this situation, you suddenly realize that the material things mean nothing. What is important is life. That's important. So let's send a prayer and a good thoughts out to the people of Big Island. and Hawaii as a whole as they deal with this budding catastrophe. I wanted to talk about the, as an update, the story I talked about on, I believe it was Friday. No, it was Thursday. About the instances in which young men of color, for no reason whatsoever, find themselves in the crosshairs of the police. In one instance, as you know, the famous Starbucks story, lots of apologies afterwards, you know, saying, from Starbucks, and they're going to be conducting a kind of teach-in and how to teach the staff how to treat people. I mean, it's something, it's really bizarre. It is an unusual thing that in almost all cases when they have to teach people how to treat people, the people they are being taught about are people of color. I don't know that there's something special you had to do to basically deal with people of color in a special way. But it seems that this is necessary. But I had complained, and I made it clear. I don't think that it is our job. If you're an offended person, if you are a person offended by an institution, why should you now be participating in helping that institution get better at offending people? The answer is no. I want to sue you for everything you have. And then never, ever, ever patronize your business again. I know it sounds harsh, but I think we have to get pretty serious with these casual encounters that end up being very big things. When that manager called the cops and the cops responded, they came armed and ready to deal with a situation that, in fact, was her making, the manager's making. But the full weight of the moment was put on the two young men. They had to fix it. They were the ones who were being targeted. They were the ones who were actually arrested on a charge that doesn't even exist, called trespassing in a Starbucks. And all they were doing is what everybody does typically at a Starbucks. You meet people and you have your meeting. You have some coffee while you're meeting. No big deal. But she had to make a big deal. But I pointed out the big problem was not that she did it, was that these are the typical ways that white supremacy expresses itself. She expected, as a white woman, she expected the police to do her bidding, and they did. So the police became agents of her thuggery. And need I mention the very real possibility that if they weren't calm, these young men, if they weren't calm and if they didn't keep things together, remember, they are unarmed people just trying to have a meeting. You have about six officers responding. They are armed. And they came ready. They're not listening to anything and then acting. They came prepared to effect an arrest. And indeed they did. So it made no difference in that moment how they explained themselves. They were arrested, just as she requested. They were charged with trespassing, and somebody has to explain to me how that becomes a legitimate charge on the books at the station house. And now these men, even though a lot of effort was made to apologize to them, we are beyond this. It shouldn't have happened, and whoever was involved in making it happen will have to pay. Period. In the case of the two Native American young men I talked about, who drove for several hours to get to the University of Colorado to attend a tour, and who found themselves, again, under direct police questioning because somebody on the tour, a woman on the tour with her daughter, thought that they were strange, and she became nervous. So to deal with her nervousness, the police had to get involved just to calm her down. And wouldn't you know, this involved, now the young men had to produce identification. They had to be, they were searched, actually, by the police. They were searched. No, we should become a bit more aggressive about these things. And the offenders have to pay. It's as simple as that. I could go anywhere in the world, and get along just fine. You come with an attitude of respect, and you make yourself amenable, and you would find that people will reciprocate. But when you have this white supremacist attitude that you rule the world, and in every single instance that I discussed, I talked about three examples, including the one in which a young man who worked in the Obama administration, relocating to New York, is moving into his new apartment, and next thing you know, he's looking down the barrel of a couple of guns. Because somebody called and said the building was being burglarized, and the person doing the burglary had a large weapon. In each instance, we may not really believe it or see it that way, but in each instance, these men's lives, in the moment that their paths crossed with the cops, their lives were literally in danger. It's a very telling tale about the kinds of pressures people live with when you are living in a society in which, as the song says, if you're white, you're right. Not good. Well, that brings me to the topic today. It's going to be a rambling topic because, frankly, I don't have my notes. They're frozen. This is life. You make the best of it. So I wanted to talk about the president and his lying. This is a very serious subject because we find that the president is able to get away with all kinds of lying, and he lies all the time. And nowhere are we seeing a major discussion about what this suggests about the president's mental health. Nor does it suggest what effect his lying may have on all kinds of initiatives that will affect us all as a nation in terms of nation-to-nation business? Or would his lying cause such a deep rift that it could actually lead to war? We've never seen somebody lie this much. We've just never seen somebody lie this much, and for no reason. He lies about small things. He lies about big things. He lies, and he lies about the lies. And the curious thing is that his administration as a whole has taken on this profile as just inveterate liars. They are lying to the nation. They are lying to the people. They are lying to other nations. And these are now becoming more and more dangerous lies. It's not the, you know, the trivial lie that you tell when, you know, you go someplace, they offer you a piece of cake and it tastes like hell, but you are lying through your teeth when you say, oh, this is just fantastic. I need the recipe. Not that kind of lie. His lies are meant to deconstruct and reconstruct history. His lies are about creating a whole new reality. His lies are about elevating himself in particular. Not even the country, but himself. Above all, as being the smartest, the brightest, the most capable. His lies are about accomplishments he never made or he never had. His lies are about the incredible things that he has accomplished. Well, I see evidence from time to time when people do a fact check. But more and more we are seeing this is not just, you know, an incidental thing. This is quite deliberate because he's aware that he is, in fact, the president of the United States. He's a historical figure, a figure of authority. But the man just wouldn't stop lying. And there appears to be no one close to him or no one in his sphere of influence who can rein him in on this, because they too are lying. You look at a guy, a nice guy, Mr. Religious Man, Mr. Carson, Dr. Carson, who is the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Well, the last thing you would think, with all of the emphasis on being a religious man, you know, having deep reverence for God and so forth, the last thing that you would think is that Carson would lie. But he has. He's been caught several times lying. And so you have the infection spreading. Just about every member of his cabinet is beset by this disease. They all lie. Giuliani, who is defending the president, is a consummate liar. They're all lying. And these are very dangerous things to do. When you make up your mind that the people are so stupid that they would believe anything, literally anything you tell them, and therefore you are justified in lying to them. I really wish we can have a national discussion on the lies that this president and his entire administration have engaged in, and the damage these lies are doing and have done. But more importantly, to look at the lies and the lying, what does it tell us about the mindset of the president and the people around him? And what does it say about this notion that the people are to be the checks and balances in a government that has the potential of going off the rails? I would submit that our government has gone off the rails already many times. And we are being lied to, and we know it. And we are not saying anything, except we are encouraged to say, oh, well, there he goes again. He's telling yet another lie. This is now, in my view, a very serious psychological disorder. And if a person must lie or believes he must lie so often about everything, we have to be very concerned about what's going on in his head and in the heads of all these people around him who similarly, they're all lying. They're lying to make money. They're lying to get power. They're lying about the lies they told to get money and power. They're lying about their love for the country. They love money and power, and that's it. They deceive. They steal. I don't think I can recall an administration so infested with liars and kleptocrats. They're in there for serious money making. And they don't care what they have to do to get out of it. If they have to stay in office only just for a few days and then they get kicked out, those few days are to count toward a very nice, fat bank account. You look at Rudolph Giuliani, who is laughably is the counsel to the president, okay, the president's lawyer. Anybody who followed Rudolph Giuliani, even loosely followed, knows that he's not a good lawyer. He's not that smart. He's not that capable. And you can tell if you bother to look at the number of cases that were overturned on matters of law. He has no recommendation at all as a lawyer. But he's mean and nasty and a liar too. You look at the other members of this cabinet, insofar as they still are there, they're all now master liars. You can't believe a thing they say, and we shouldn't. But what we should do is, I think we should arrive at a referendum, a national referendum on this question. I don't think it is a small matter at all. If the people cannot trust the government, if the people can't trust the president, if he says the sky is blue and you have to hold out for the very real possibility that it isn't, you know, what have we here? Megalomania and kleptomania? We have all kinds of manias in this particular administration. And so with the lying and the dishonesty and the, it's a kind of cruel joke. The people are stupid. I could get over. I'm smart. I could hustle. It becomes the presidential office becomes simply, in the hands of people like this, a means toward an end. Power and money. And everybody, I mean, when you have some time, go through the list and see if there's any member of the cabinet, anybody who is close to Donald Trump, who suggests that that person is a person of quality, of honor, of integrity, a person whose word you can trust. And, you know, that I'm not being naive here that you could trust people just because they occupy the White House. But we have never seen this. Everybody is lying. Everybody is stealing. I mean, big money. They're doing everything they have to do to make a buck fast. Because chances are, like this guy Pruitt at the Environmental Protection Agency, who wants a $40,000 phone booth put in his office for privacy. What is going on with these people? And the good religious Dr. Carson, the man of God, wants a $34,000 table in his office. And then he lied about it and threw his wife under the bus about it. Said, well, she was the one who chose the furniture, not me. And when he's questioned closely about anything, he goes from pillar to post. He gives you a world tour. And it's all about deceiving and not answering the question. So we're in bad shape. We can't even trust the government. Well, you shouldn't trust the government at all, any government, to tell you the whole truth. But we've never seen this kind, this level of lying and deception, I would say, in a very long time. We haven't seen the combination of kleptocrats and liars headed by a president whose family, all they want is a chance to get their hands on the most money possible. They're all liars and kleptocrats. And all, I would submit, unfit for the jobs they have. I think we have to adopt this as a national concern. We don't believe the government. And when you don't believe the government, basically you're saying this government is null and void. Well, of course, he addressed the National Rifle Association over the weekend, got tremendous applause. And he vowed, because if you listen to the speech, and I didn't want to burden you with that duty today, but you listen to the speech, and he is speaking literally as a president coming to his folks and telling them what he has done for them, not for the country, for them, making a pledge of allegiance to them about the Second Amendment. It will never, ever, ever be denied them, the Second Amendment rights. And this is madness. I don't know how we will continue to live this way, but I'm sure we will find a way to live through it. But I'm aghast at the Democratic Party and other parties. This is the stuff that they should be putting on the table nationally. The president, I mean, the confidence of the people in the president, and the lies, the constant lying. So anyway, I put that for your consideration. I'll take a break. We could come back and talk at 888-874-4888 right after this. Listening to PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Leed, and this is Leed Stories. I'm talking essentially kind of doing a free thought thing today because my computer is frozen. But it was a subject I wanted to raise anyway, and I wanted to raise it more clinically because I think we have to have psychiatrists and psychologists chime in. What is it that they're seeing in this president? And now seeing more of it with his cabinet. What does it mean for a country that is internationally derided because the president lies so often and is so offensive, his behavior is so offensive? And these are fundamental things. I mean, when you have Kim Jong-un saying that Donald Trump is souring the atmosphere prior to any kind of a diplomatic effort, you'd know this is big. They had just gone through a thing and thought a milestone had been reached. And next thing you know, the president is back again at his vituperative self and lying. This does not bode well for good diplomatic relations, that's for sure. Now, I'm not so naive as to believe that governments always tell the truth. They don't. I understand that. But we haven't had such a blatant liar in the White House for many years now. On every single level, he lies, he distorts, he refuses to tell the truth about anything because that's the way he has been all of his life. And he turns on people. He has no allegiance to anybody. Mean-spirited, which is what his administration reflects. A kind of mean-spiritedness we haven't seen in a long time, to the point where you could even say it's very un-American to harbor these feelings and to come up with these kinds of policies that only a sick, warped, mean-spirited mind would produce. Jeff from New Jersey, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that it's just par for the course, you know, the kind of sociopaths that get into politics right now, or they give that politics gives a platform to, are these very people, you know. They were just talking about the survey done in Wisconsin about Nestle pulling water out of the ground, and they polled 91,000 people. Well, 995 people said they didn't like it, and there was 15 people, whatever it was, 11 people, I think it was. I'm sorry, the number's wrong. But there were 11 people that said they were for it, and they still passed it anyway. So what we've done is, you know, it's very hard to get a conversation about this because the very ones that are paying off the politicians also controlling the media. So the national conversation has to take place in, you know, smaller places, and, you know, we need to spread the word about it. But it's very hard to get a national conversation when journalists, who are supposed to be somewhat of a watchdog, are not asking these pointed questions at the, you know, at our government. And
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, in your own lifetime, do you recall a period when your government was so blatantly lying to you and you were expected to just go along with it? Do you recall a time when the government seemed so totally out of whack with the worst possible people? That's called a kakistocracy, the government by the worst elements of our society.
Yeah, I think
it's... Do you recall a time that you felt that way before now?
Yes, in the GW era, you know, as far as the war went, what was going on, what Dick Cheney did, and I don't blame GW, but the people around them, and some of these are similar to the, or came through with the people. You know, this is the baby of that government, that they went out and lied, and they stole money in Iraq, and they, you know, they brought us to war and lined their own pockets, and they got away with it. So these children of, you know, these political children of that time are like, wow, they got away with it. They lied. Yeah, you may as well do it. You know, and then there's no penalty, you know, because, you know, they got the judges in their pockets. They have the corporations that have the politicians. So there'll be no prosecution. So they can go ahead and do it. So blatantly lying is not, you know, they just saw someone else get away with it. And now they can do it. They're a little more emboldened. You know, it's kind of like the way that the, you know, street gangs were. They saw, you know, the younger the people, the dumber, you know, the more blatant they become. And then they expose themselves, you know, and this is just kind of what's going on. These are not smart people. They may have degrees, but the problem is that they're not smart, and they think that they are. But they also have, like Donald Trump has had all his life, is that, you know, if you didn't obey him, he'd just get rid of you or dismiss you or sue you or buy you out, you know, because he had that kind of power. So he created his own reality, and he's getting away with it, and it's emboldening the rest of these idiots to do the same thing.
How does that make you feel as a citizen of the United States?
Well, like moving to Ghana.
Like what?
Makes me feel like moving to Ghana. It makes me feel like leaving the country. Because this is also a moment of truth with your neighbor. You know, if your neighbor continues to support these blatant liars and make excuses for them, you know, I can't trust you. You know, it's not the politicians, like you said, we shouldn't trust the government. But now that you have, you know, you're emboldening my neighbor to go out and feel as though he can trample my rights too. And so we have a very serious situation. I'm recommending people to encourage family members to buy houses in the neighborhood where they are. Build yourself a neighborhood with your people. Because, you know, you don't know what, you know, and in two more years, we do not know what the mindset will be of the public. Part of it will be anger. Like a lady in Colorado at the university, she didn't call because she was afraid. She called because she was ashamed of what her people had done to the Native Americans. And she could not stand in front of those people because of the guilt she felt. She wasn't afraid. She felt guilty. It made her uncomfortable. That's why she made that call. So what are we going to do now when the violence starts to prevail? Because the American dream that has been told to white Americans is not true. You're finding out that they're lying to you. So who are you going to take it out on? The person you can get away with taking it out on.
Well, we're still trying to get a sense of how do you, as an American, how do you regard the office of president with a president and his cabinet who just, lie as a matter of practice?
I am embarrassed as an American. I think this is just, it's a joke, you know, and, you know, I'm African-American, so I've always felt crapped on, but this is just a joke, and it's a shame, and it's really, you know, you just feel ashamed, you know, it's about the best word that I come up with. I feel ashamed, and I'm angry that it has come to this, you know, but, you know, you feel powerless also, you know, which is part of your anger, because if you could help change it and do something to change it, you know, you'd be in power. You'd be a little less angry because you could work towards something. But at this point, with the control of the media, with the control of all this, you feel a bit on the helpless side, you know, but we're going to work, you know, I'm going to do what I can do to work to change it. I'm not going to stop doing that. But at this point in time, it's just a real embarrassment about
it is. It is a very embarrassing thing.
Who we are
and
as a people.
It has to become part of a national discussion. This is intolerable. Thank you, Jeff, for your thoughts today. 888-874-4888. You know, this is not a simple matter of, well, you know, the guy lies, so he tells a fib every now and then. This is not that. This is a very serious and now institutional problem, because we have the institution of the government itself involved in routine lying and deception and targeting their own people. Targeting Americans, lying to them, telling them one thing when in fact it's a whole other thing that is going on. And we have to get to this idea that if the president is not going to do something about it, and people in his circle are not going to do something about it, then we should have a national referendum. Do we want to continue to have as our national representative, especially in the world community of nations, somebody who behaves like this, somebody who lies all the time about everything, so that he looks good, so that he becomes the hero, so that he is the one who gets the credit for everything good? No, it means that you're sick. It means that you have problems. It means that you have long-standing problems, because clearly this goes back to when he was much younger, possibly even as a child, that this lying, constant pathological lying, is to be expected. You can't trust Donald Trump, but people seem to want to. They elected him, and now that he's elected, many people still dismiss the fact that in so many ways he disgraces the country. And he disgraces this country, as I said, in the world community of nations with his unpredictability and his lying. So we have to have a discussion. Is the president off the rails or not? Is he mentally ill or not? What is the need? What happens in the head of a person who feels compelled all the time to lie? I was reading an analysis of an interview that he did, and in every statement, according to the analysis, in every statement, there was at least one lie. That tells you this person has a problem. he has a problem. And even if people are inclined to ignore it, at some point we will have to pay some attention to it, because we will be the people who will be facing the wrath of other nations and even other citizens, our neighbors, because this president refuses to tell the truth. I don't know what we do about it. So I'm asking you, what should be done with the president and now his administration? They have picked up the habit of lying. They have found in the president an acceptability about lying. It's not really wrong to lie. It's not wrong to deceive. And they look you straight in the eye and tell you things that are patently false. And we have a media that just will not subject him to close scrutiny, so he gets away even more with lying. It's a sad day. It's a very sad day that this is what this country has come to. This is who represents us. This is what they represent in us, that we are a nation who will accept being lied to. Because for some reason, he has successfully indicated that he's a hero and a star. He's the upstart. He's the guy who is going to turn things around. So he may make a little mistake here and there, but you will forgive that because you're looking at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is he's getting the job done. He is making America great again. Just take a close look at every single member of the cabinet. And if you tell me that altogether you get a good picture, a solid picture, a picture that encourages you to have pride in your country, everybody is lying. Everybody. I mean, the committee hearings are being held now to fill that slot that has become available, director of the CIA. And we know there are so many questions to be asked there. But Gina Haspel is hardly going to come clean about her role with the CIA. She's hardly going to say anything that is absolutely true. And yet, this was a woman who ran these operations of torture that took prisoners from one place and brought them to another secret place where they were tortured. Very nice looking, very nice looking lady, but with that kind of background. And everybody would lie. Everybody would lie. She herself didn't want the job after a while. She begged off at the beginning. But who said no? You're the perfect person for the job, is Donald Trump. So you see, we have a kind of, we have an agreement. And it's like any company, it's even like a family. When the tone is set in a family, that there are certain things that you can do without a problem. People may object because they may fly in the face of what society considers wrong. But, hey, it's your family. As long as you belong to the family, you're safe. You can lie, you can steal, you can cheat. You can do whatever you want to do. that's the kind of message that we're getting from this administration. The members of the cabinet and the president himself, they share a kind of value system we don't recognize as desirable. In fact, we flat out reject it. We don't want it. We don't want a government that makes you feel that you're being preyed upon, a predatory government, a lying government, a deceitful government. That's not what we want, but that's what we have. And we have it because in the areas where we can mount a pretty significant assault on that, we find instead silence. And even, you know, people approving, because he's the president. He's a different kind of president, they tell us. And so we should learn to accept that he's a different kind of guy who does things in a different kind of way. Thanks for listening. See each other tomorrow. Thank you so much.